But just like you and I know that when we're on mission for God, there's always going to be someone or something that the evil one uses to try to discourage us. There will always be naysayers in your life. They are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. That's why we don't listen to the voice of those. We listen to the voice of truth. We must constantly be preaching truth into our lives, filling our minds and our hearts and our souls with Scripture, driving it deep into the bedrock of our soul.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're super excited about today's program, so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7, looking at verse 10. As we listen to the first part of the message entitled, How to Be on God's Mission.
Take your Bible, let's go to the Old Testament book of Ezra. We're going to be looking at Ezra today in the Old Testament. If you're in 2 Chronicles, you're close. If you're in Nehemiah, you're close. Just go somewhere in between those two and you'll find Ezra. Ezra is an incredible book, one that you probably don't hear a lot from on many occasions. I'm not sure exactly why, but it's filled, as all Scripture is, with God's holy truth. And so, therefore, we want to dig into God's truth today, don't we? We want to be a people of God's truth. We want to be governed by God's truth. We want to be a people that clearly are students of God's Word. The title of the message today is simply, How to Be on God's Mission. And I believe there's people today in our culture, even people inside churches today in the United States of America, that have a desire to be on God's mission, but they're just not sure how to be on God's mission. Amen. That the heart is there, the desire is there, the will is there, but there's a disconnect between getting on mission because they simply do not know how to get on the mission. God's Word is very clear through Scripture of what it means to be a Christ follower. Yes. God's Word is very clear through Scripture that God desires not sacrifice, but obedience. God's Word is very clear that as His Word speaks and through the power of the Holy Spirit that there illuminates the text off the page, if you will, into your heart and drives it deep into your soul like a dagger, that we know that His Word will not return void. Amen. See, there's power in God's Word, amen?
Yes, it is.
Yes. We just sung about the King of Kings, the King of Glory. That when He conquered that grave, that there was that victory. There was a resounding victory that took any hint of victory that Satan might have thought he had and completely extinguished it. And therefore, we rest in the victory. We should be living in the victory. And even if our circumstances do not give the impression that we're living in a state of victory, we know this, that we do not operate in circumstances. We operate in the blood of Jesus who conquered sin, the grave, and the tomb.
Amen.
And so here in this great text in Ezra, I'm going to be looking at chapter 7. Just an incredible text here that I pray will greatly stir in your heart as it's stirred in mind in preparation for this, because we're in dire need of just not a few godly men, but also a few godly women. And we're going to be looking at a text today from a great man of God. But ladies, I want to make sure you understand this, that these applications of Scripture and truth apply to your life as well. And so here in chapter 7, I'm going to read in verse 6, starting there. I pray you have your copy of God's Word open there in front of you. Chapter 7 of Ezra, looking at verses 6 through 10. This is what it says, God's holy Word. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe. Pause there for just a quick moment here. That word skilled scribe, very, very important, just means expert. He's not a scribe like he's dictating and writing something down, although that he is. He's a skilled scribe and that he's an expert. Very important to notice that. Expert, skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all of his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. Make a note of that. Now here we go, verse 7. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nethim, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. Notice that. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. Don't miss that. Now here it is again. According to the good hand of his God upon him. Now here's our verse for today we're going to camp out on. Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. If you're looking for a verse in Scripture that plainly, very clearly teaches how to be on God's mission, it's Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Right there is a roadmap, a glaring roadmap that shows you and me, whether we've been deep in the faith for years or just a baby Christian, maybe new in the faith now, we clearly see a beautiful set of guidelines on how to be on God's mission. Now, this is very important, though, because we always understand that context is king, right? And so when you think through this, what is leading up to chapter 7? Well, you look here and the book of Ezra begins with the end of the Babylonian captivity. That you think about what was going on as those kids of Israel and all that went on in their realm, they were held captive. And as you see what goes on from chapter 1 up until chapter 7, you see that worship is restored at Jerusalem. And then the restoration of the temple begins. But just like you and I know that when we're on mission for God, there's always going to be someone or something that the evil one uses to try to discourage us.
Oh, yeah.
There will always be naysayers in your life.
Yep.
They are a dime a dozen.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere. That's why we don't listen to the voice of those. We listen to the voice of truth. We must constantly be preaching truth into our lives, filling our minds and our hearts and our souls with Scripture, driving it deep into the bedrock of our soul. That as God has called you, we know this from Romans, that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Do you know what that means? When it's irrevocable in the Greek, it means this. It's without repentance. You know what the word repentance means? Repentance means to change one's mind. To change their direction. God is saying this, when I called you to your task, whatever your task may be, business person, pastor, homemaker, homeschooler, student, athlete, whatever call He's placed on your life, when it's from God, God does not change His mind about His call on you. Now what will happen is, there'll be all kinds of people around you that will try to discourage you that the call that God's put on your life is really not the call He's put on your life, therefore abandon your call.
Oh, yeah.
And God says, do not abandon what I've called you to do. Rest in my providence, in my grace, in my mercy, in my provision, regardless of the cost and the circumstances you're delving into this day.
Oh, yeah.
See, there was a lot of resistance to this reformation going on in Ezra's day. But Ezra would have none of it. Because Ezra, as he went through this, there's the decree of Darius, and the temple's completed, and it's dedicated, the Passover celebrated, and then here we are, chapter 7, and Ezra comes onto the scene. And he explodes onto the scene, and right out of the gate, we see this deep truth that we mentioned just a moment ago, that he was just not a scribe, that we're, hey, Words are coming to his mind, coming to his heart. Let me write this stuff down. No, he was an expert in the law. That he was a student of God's word. That he was determined to know truth and truth only. And that is mission critical in your life today and my life today. That if we are not governed by truth, how will we ever know what the truth really is? I mean, if we're listening to something other than truth, how will we know what truth is, and therefore how will we walk in truth? I want you to picture God's truth as an umbrella. You guys ever lived in Florida before? You guys ever went outside in Florida on a summer day around 4:02? Most of the time, you're going to see a few clouds and maybe have a few drips of water on you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we pull up those things called umbrellas, don't we? Why do we do that? Because we're bored? No. Why do we do it? We do it for protection. Some of us pull those out even with this beating down sun that we're experiencing, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a protective element to the umbrella. But if the umbrella is closed and is in your trunk, it will never protect you. Too many people have their Bibles, the Word of God, closed and in their trunk. And it's no wonder their life's in shambles. If you're not governed by the Word of God, you have already failed before you started, period. That's why Ezra is going to teach us something today. That I pray will greatly strengthen you, greatly encourage you. I pray that it will set your feet on high hills that only God could lead you on. That as you go under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty, you will know there is protection, there is joy and contentment. Yes, even in the midst of your struggle today.
Thank you.
And so here, let's look at this together. Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Look at this word prepared for just a moment. I pray you have your sheet of paper out there to take some notes here. But this is very critical. That word prepared simply means this, to make ready to be established. So we got to picture this together. We got to come together with what God's word is saying here in this Hebrew and apply it to our lives today. See, the name Ezra actually means this, and write this down. It means help. H-E-L-P. Ezra means help. Again, we know who Ezra was, this scribe. We know that he was a skilled expert. But we know this from the text. We saw it there, that the good hand of the Lord was on him. I don't know what better compliment you might receive today, this afternoon, than for someone else to write about you or talk about you in this life, that so-and-so, put your name in the blank, the good hand of the Lord is on them. Because here's the deal, if the good hand of the Lord is not on me, if it's not on you, wow, we're in a whole heap of trouble, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
And so are you getting a mental picture here of who Ezra is? But aren't you getting a clear mental picture of the character and the integrity of Ezra as well? That the good hand of the Lord is on him. Therefore, here's what Ezra does. This is how Ezra responds. He, number one, he prepared. He prepared. He established. It says here in that original language, to make ready, to establish, to make sure. Now, here's the deal. Preparation is key in the life of the believer. But don't miss this. But what is more important is what is being prepared for and how it is being prepared for. Walk with me on this for a moment. We can be a believer in Jesus Christ today and say, I'm going to go prepare. But what if I'm preparing for something that's good, but that it's not of God? There are all kinds of things in my life and your life that are good things, but they're not God things. And there's a big difference. See, we first have to understand what we're preparing for. Are they good things? Or are they God things? Now, can good things be God things? Amen.
Amen.
But not necessarily the same. There can be seemingly good things. See, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? And therefore, I can think through my heart and through my mind that's a good thing, but maybe it's really not a good thing. Actually, maybe it's like the devil himself, who's an angel of light, who masquerades and appears to be good, but it's actually not of God. You say, well, how do I know the difference? Glad you asked. Ezra's going to show us how we know the difference. Number one, you prepare. Preparation for the battle is key. I know I made a joke last week about the Buccaneers, and I ate crow on that one, didn't I? I know it. I was sitting there, and I watched the final score, and I thought, those people, they're going to think I'm Looney Tunes. They probably already do, but they're really going to think I'm Looney Tunes because I made a joke about the Bucs not winning, and they actually look pretty good. You know, imagine they're in the locker room, and they're rah-rahing, and they're giving their pregame Newt Rockne speeches, and then they run out onto the field without any helmets or shoulder pads. That's going to be an ugly scene on live TV, isn't it? How many people, though, sit in church on Sunday morning and get up on Monday morning and run out onto the field of life without any armor? Their shoulder pads and their helmets, their Word of God, their swords, their shield, their helmet, the breastplate, the belt of truth, the feet that are shod with the gospel of peace. It's all back in the locker. And as they're getting pummeled and decimated, they shrug their shoulders and wonder why. They were not prepared for the battle. Key number one is we have to be prepared, but we have to also know what are we preparing for. What is it we're preparing for? Not just what as far as the game, if you will, or the arena we're in, but who are we preparing for? Write this supporting verse down that's going to encourage you, I pray. I alluded to it just a moment ago. Ephesians 6. Write that down. Ephesians 6. 10 through 13. I talked about the spiritual armor there that I gave you just a brief synopsis. But what about the verses that precede the armor in Ephesians 6? Listen to what this says. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren. Okay, here he is. He's wrapping this up. Paul's wrapping up the letter to the church in Ephesus. And typically, whenever you what? When you say something at the end of a letter, most of the time it's something very important, isn't it? You're not going to like say, hey, something just, oh, by the way, great, whatever, see ya. No, this is, finally, my brethren, he has their attention. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Here's why. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wow, that's good, isn't it? See, we prepare, but we know what we're preparing for, and we also know who we're preparing the battle for. So critical as you think through this. But what does the text say that Ezra prepared his heart for? The answer was his heart. Here it is. The heart is not only the engine room for the human body, but the heart is also the engine room for the spiritual condition of the human being. Wherever we are looking to satisfy our souls is exactly the place where our heart truly is. I mean, process this for just a moment. You know, if I just had this, if I just lived here, if I just married this person, if I just had this job, where our life's a bunch of if I just, right? When we need to be content and satisfied in Christ. That literally that He's our praise. Not what He does for us, but who He is. That we're just content and satisfied in Christ and Him alone. And yet the battle in that arena is so difficult in our hearts, amen? Therefore, whatever we are stuffing into our hearts is what we will eventually become. Think through that for just a moment. Whatever we're stuffing into our hearts is what we will eventually become. Kind of that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out, right?
Oh, yes.
That's why this is so critical that we learn from Ezra that there was great preparation, but he was preparing his heart. Write these verses down. Critical verses. Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what it says. Thus says the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. When I hear, thus saith the Lord, okay, attention, right? Thus saith the Lord. He's speaking. Cursed, or in the Hebrew, it means damned. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Following verses, Jeremiah 17:9, which I summarized a while ago. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, the challenge that we live in today is not that we do not have good motives. The issue is that our hearts are not in tune with Christ. When our hearts are in tune with Christ, we desire the things of Christ. I know this from personal experience. When I'm driving over a spiritual cliff, I can trace it back to my heart not being in tune with Christ every time. I don't drive over spiritual cliffs doing things I shouldn't do, and I can trace it back going, oh yeah, I was walking intimately with the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. Oh, I definitely was. No. I had rebelled in that instance. I had suppressed truth. And I said no. Write this down as your first key point that you want to have in your notes for this week. Key number one. Neglecting to daily prepare my heart is to daily prepare for my heart to fail. I'm going to repeat that again. Neglecting to daily prepare my heart is to daily prepare for my heart to fail. One of the things that's so difficult to learn in these bodies of death, even as professed believers, is this deep biblical truth. That there must be a season of preparation before the field can be planted and before the harvest can be reaped. I don't know what experience you have in farming. I don't have a lot, but I know this. Unless that ground is cultivated and tilled, unless it's unearthed, unless it is turned over and over and it's weeded out of all the briars and the other weeds that have now encompassed and ensnared and taken over that field, unless that preparation is done, preparation that has the goal in mind of we're going to plant the crop and we envision it and we see it and we know why we're doing it and who we're doing it for, unless the preparation is there, you will never reap that harvest.
Amen.
It won't happen. You can stand there all day long and stare at it, and strawberries are not going to come up from that ground. You'll probably get a whole bunch of weeds, though, that will continue to choke out the life of that field. And that's what happens in homes and churches and teams and businesses and individuals' lives all over the United States of America today. They're staring at their field, professing the name of Jesus, but doing nothing to prepare for the battle He has them in. But look at the second point here. And the question I want to ask is simply this. What was Ezra so bent on preparing his heart to do? Well, there's three things. I'm going to look at number one right now. Number one is this, to seek the law of the Lord. Now, this is an interesting word, seek. It's derash, if you will, in the Hebrew. And it means this, to inquire of, to search for. There's a burning desire in this word. This is not like passively seeking. When you play hide and seek, or let me rephrase that, because most of you are probably too old to play hide and seek, like myself. When you played hide and seek, maybe you still do play hide and seek, I don't know. But when you played hide and seek, I know when I played hide and seek as a kid, there was nothing passive going on about the game. Man, this was intense, wasn't it? And this was game on. Yeah. If I'm the one seeking, I'm a heat-seeking missile. If I'm the one that doesn't want to be found, I'm going to do everything in my power to not be found. That's the visual I'm going to leave you with today, that here is Ezra, and he's a student, he's an expert in the law of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is on this man. And he is so dialed into preparing, and how is he going to do it in his first step? He's not going to passively seek the law of the Lord. Or in the New Testament, we could bring it over to this illustration, he's not going to passively seek the word of the Lord. He's going to dive in, devour, consume in a relentless tenacity that nothing nor anyone else can deny. He will not be deterred in his mission to say, I'm going to know God's word. Period.
Amen.
I mean, that's a beautiful example, isn't it?
It is.
Because for you and me today, imagine if we did that every morning. We get up and we say, I don't care how many emails are on the computer waiting for me.
Thank you.
I don't care who's on Facebook. I don't care. The most important thing I have to do right now is to commune with my God.
Amen.
And I'm going to open His Word, and I'm going to just wash it over my soul. Boy, that's incredible preparation for the battle that awaits that day, man.
Amen.
See, Ezra understood this, that he was seeking this. It can also mean to study as you take in that definition there. And so apply that as well. Seeking with tenacity. Studying God's Word with tenacity. And I picture Ezra combing the law of the Lord. Mining the law of the Lord.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.